This podcast is brought to you by NerdWallet. Are you paying for your me time with just any credit card in your wallet? While you shouldn't stop treating yourself, you should start paying with a credit card that has perks. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending. So what could future you do with better rewards? A free flight? Room upgrades? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, everyone. I'm Katie Couric, and this is a bonus episode of Next Question. Da-da-da-da! Today, I'm sharing another stop on my book tour, and this time, it's Atlanta. Everyone said, please don't say Hotlanta. Don't worry, Atlanta. I'm not going to. Where I got to talk to one of my favorite people. And yes, I'll be saying that a lot, but it's true. The barefoot Contessa herself, Ina Garten. So, bon appetit!
You guys are in for such a treat because my next guest is one of my favorite people on the planet, probably one of yours too. Ina Garten seems to... Ina Garten to me seems to signify everything that is good in the world. Her very name just makes you feel better, doesn't it? Her cookbooks are my go-to for everything from panzanella to pasta pesto with peas and pine nuts, which is very alliterative. From her famous coconut cupcakes to her delicious roast chicken, which we'll talk about. She's got her show on the Food Network, of course. She's developing another show with guests. Maybe she'll invite Mia Molnar, fingers crossed. And she's currently working on her 13th cookbook. So please welcome Ina Garten.
To you.
Oh my gosh, Ina, everyone's so excited you're here. I shouldn't say this, but you're my favorite guest in all the cities, so don't tell
we'll
anyone.
Keep it a secret.
So let's talk about, because I think during the pandemic, Ina, you were such a comforting presence for so many people. Before that, you were a comforting presence, but you spread such joy. And one of my favorite moments was when you poured a giant Cosmo that was...
Nobody saw that, right?
It was more than the size of our heads. I think we actually have a video of you. There you go.
And I would say, stay safe, have a very good time, and don't forget the cocktails.
Did you drink that whole thing?
Delicious.
No. There's a whole bottle of vodka in there.
Where did that idea come from? Because it cracked me up.
It actually started out as an April Fool's thing. And when the pandemic hit in the beginning of March, I said to my assistants, let's go downstairs in the basement, clean it out, and then we'll have room to store, you know, shelf goods and things like that for the year. Because I thought we were going to be in this for a year or two. And there were these huge cocktail glasses, martini glasses, somebody gave us as a joke. And I said, oh, let's throw these out. And my assistant said, you never know when you're going to need them. And I thought, who needs a cocktail glass like this?
And you needed them then, sooner than you thought.
Sooner than I thought. A month later, it was April 1st. And I thought, I'll do a little April Fool's joke. But as you know, as it kind of evolved in my thinking, I thought nobody needs a joke the second week of the pandemic. So, but everybody needs a cocktail. So I just decided I'm just going to do it straight. And I had enough ingredients to make one of those. That was it. If I messed up the video, I was in trouble. I had to make a totally different cocktail.
Well, it made everybody laugh. And I love following you on Instagram because you have so much fun. And,
Thank you.
I think it's given you, I mean, you were already huge, Ina,
well,
and so popular, but it's kind of given you this whole new presence and such a place where your fans can see you on a regular basis. It's amazing what
Thank
it's done,
you.
Right?
Well, it's funny, when the pandemic hit, and my friend of mine, who's the head of publicity at my publisher, said, you know, you should be the person that people go to if they don't know what to do with the white beans in their pantry. And I was like, I can't tell them that. Well, I mean, I don't know that. And I thought about it for a day, and I thought, well, let me see if I can. So I sort of posted a picture of my pantry, which was funny because there were ramen noodles in there, and everybody went, she has ramen noodles?
What is she, a college freshman?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I had bought them. I had no idea what to do with them. But I ended up making ramen chicken noodle soup, which was actually great.
Wow. So, well, you know, I think we both have, because I love Instagram too, and I actually don't live too far away from each other
exactly.
in East Hampton. And, you know, there's something great about being able to talk directly to an audience.
I was just completely blown away when I said, okay, I'll just try it. And I started posting something every day, and people were talking to me. And it was all of a sudden I felt like I was connected again.
Yeah.
It was really incredibly satisfying.
I love
and
the interactivity.
I knew the answers, which shocked me. You know, like, what should I do with the white beans? I knew what to do.
And there is something really wonderful about the interactivity that you get.
Yeah.
You know,
Especially during the pandemic.
I did a lot of videos about frontline healthcare workers.
Yeah, you did.
And
I love your Instagram.
You know, I try to post things like when there are these tragedies and they're these faceless victims. Mm-hmm. I try to show humanize it and show that these were people with lives and families.
Right, and friends.
I think that's something that people forget when they hear statistics. So I really like going direct to consumer, as they say.
Yeah.
And you probably never get trolls, do you?
I mean, people who have nasty things to say about me?
Yeah.
Oh, never. Rarely. I have to say rarely.
I can't imagine. I mean, who would say something mean to Ina? I get plenty of them, and I just block their asses. So
that's a good plan.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to talk to Ina because Ina is also writing a memoir, which is so
it's
exciting.
It's not going to be like Katie's.
I mean, she's in the very beginning stages, but tell me a little bit about it.
Well, tell me first how you started. So you just decided to do it, and I have to say, it was so brave of you to really get in, you know, just decide you're going to put it all out there. You were going there.
Yeah.
Were there any times when you said to yourself, well, maybe I shouldn't go there?
Well, I did keep some things out.
Good.
Believe it or not, there's like two things in my life that are still private. That's it. But,
evolve, or did you know going in that you were going to do that?
Well, I was working on it for 3 years, and I really wanted to write a book that felt like I was sitting down with friends mm-hmm. and sharing what it felt like to be in my position mm-hmm. in all kinds of situations. And John said to me, and it's all his fault, if you're not going to be honest, you shouldn't write a book.
Yeah.
And so I really tried to just share myself with people because I didn't want it to be like, I'm Great by Katie Couric. I wanted it to be introspective and reflective, and I also did it against the backdrop of pretty dramatic social change mm-hmm. when it comes to gender politics, race in this country, you know, gay rights. I've witnessed so much.
You've been there.
And
right.
I wanted to kind of talk about being front and center and having that, you know, front row seat to history. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there are a lot of people who've dealt with loss and grief, and I never wanted to write about it right after Jay died, Ina, because I felt like it was private. This was mm-hmm. him. But 20 years later, I felt like I could share what I went through because You know, I have so many people DMing me who have sick spouses or who are dealing with a terminal illness themselves, looking for support and guidance. And I thought by sharing my story, maybe I could help them too.
And you do. And you actually do.
I'm trying.
Yeah, that's really, it's wonderful.
It was hard. It was hard to write. And one of the nice things I was going to say is it kind of, you know, for my daughters, they were so little when Jay died. And writing about him when we met and fell in love, you know, it made their father come alive for them. Mm-hmm. And they both called me after reading the chapters and they were just sobbing. And they said, thank you so much for writing this. It's such a gift to us.
Wow,
so
that's fabulous.
That made it all worthwhile.
That's wonderful.
But tell me about your memoir, because you've actually been traveling to some of the places where you've lived and grown up, et cetera.
I'm working with a friend of mine who's a writer and has written actually two memoirs with people, with Tina Turner and with Oprah. And she's just doing a lot of the research, like going back and finding my high school friends, which has been so amazing to reconnect with them. You know, they're women that have changed their names twice. I don't know how she found them, but she did. And it's just really wonderful. So they remember stories that I don't remember, and they kind of trigger, you know, a memory for me. We went back to my life in Washington, which was in the 70s, late 70s. And I used to buy old houses and renovate them, so we went to see each one. And the last one, she just said to me, okay, we're standing in front of the townhouse that I had bought and I had lived in when I moved to West Hampton. And she said, imagine yourself on the steps. And I just lost it. And I realized it was a really painful experience that I'd completely forgotten. So actually being there and seeing it with somebody saying, imagine yourself there, was really powerful. Did you find any of those experiences where you didn't, I mean, how did you have journals? How did you remember?
Yeah,
I don't remember anything.
I'm
just making it up, guys. So
that's why I had to write it now. You know, I'm 64 and I thought about calling it While I Still Remember. But, you know, I'm a pack rat. And so I keep
everything. I'm not.
Everything.
I throw everything out.
Oh, you're like John. He doesn't have a sentimental bone in his body. But I kept all my speeches. I had diaries.
Wow.
I had, you know, of course, and the internet is really helpful because I could go back and look at stories I had done in the past. And the archivists at all the networks were really generous in sending me material. And, you know, I kept like my little flashcards from the 2008 election down in my basement. Folders from our specials I had done on the Central Park jogger. I mean, so I'm just happy I can now clean my basement, honestly, and can throw those things away.
It's out.
But, you know, I think it is a very emotional experience, I think, looking back on your life. And, you know, you talk about Washington, and one of the really interesting things, of many things that I love about Ina, is she actually started as a nuclear policy analyst in the Carter White House, right?
In the Ford White House. Like ancient history.
I mean, who knew? And I said to Ina, well, what, will you tell us, what attracted you to nuclear policy?
Doesn't sound attractive to you?
It doesn't sound very interesting to me.
You know, I was in my 20s, and I think I was writing policy papers that went to the president to make decisions. So it felt serious. And, you know, I mean, part of me thought, I can't believe they trust this to 25-year-olds. But but that's what I was doing. And I like science. I find science really interesting. And so all of the scientific issues were interesting to me. And in a funny way, I think I find cooking science as well.
Yeah.
They're really related.
So you decide.
Except one, you end up with nuclear energy, and the other one, you end up with coconut cupcakes.
I'll go for the coconut cupcakes.
Me too.
Well, so how did you make the transition? So you're doing this wonky job in Washington, D.C.
Thinking there's got to be something more fun than this.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just not floating your boat. And you decide that, well, tell us about how you got from nuclear policy to the Barefoot Contessa.
I was sitting in my office one day thinking I've got to do something else. and I was reading the New York Times, which I probably should have been working, but I was reading the Times. And there used to be this thing called the business opportunities section in the Times that had like cleaners, dry cleaners, and like delis and head shops for sale. And there was a little specialty food store in a place I'd never heard, never been in the Hamptons. And I just thought, oh, that sounds interesting. And I went home that night and I said to Jeffrey, you know, I really need to do something else. And he gave me the best advice. He said, do what you love. If you love it, you'll be really good at it. And I said, you know, funny you should mention it. I'd seen this little ad. It was a tiny little ad. And he said,
this was 1978?
1978. And he said, let's go look at it. And I think now, in retrospect, I think he was just humoring me. So the next day we drove up to West Hampton and I saw this 400 square foot store, just like the size of this carpet. And they were baking chocolate chip cookies, and I thought, this is where I want to be. And I just made her a very low offer, thinking, you know, well, she'll come back, we'll negotiate, I'll have time to think about it. And we drove back to Washington. And the next day she called me on the phone and said, thank you very much, I accept your offer. And I went, oh, shit. Now I have to do it. It wasn't supposed to work that way.
When we come back, the dish that almost broke Ina and the meal she'll never forget.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I mean, Ina and Jeffrey, let's talk about Ina and Jeffrey, shall we? I mean, it's like such a great love story. And I was so moved when you were talking to me about Jeffrey, because he has given you so much and he really gave you the power to believe in yourself. Yeah. You know, your parents were not
supportive.
They weren't supportive. Yeah. And, you know, writing this book for me, I was so grateful for my mom and dad, because yeah. I was always very, very close, and they were, you know, my friend Wendy knew my parents well, and they just gave me such unconditional love and support. But you came from parents who were kind of withholding, to say the least, right?
They were anything but supportive.
Yeah.
They really thought I'd never amount to anything, which is amazing. And but, you know, in the end, you and I have talked about this, we only need one person to really believe in us. And it could be a teacher, it could be a parent, it could be a spouse. It's just one person who just believes in you. And for me, that was Jeffrey, and my whole life turned around.
And what was it that he gave you that made you?
He just thought I could do anything I wanted to do. And he would put, I mean, when I bought the store, it was $20,000, which was, I mean, if we had $1,000 to our name, that was a lot. We got a loan for the rest of the money. So we put in more money than we had. And he was just like, just go do it. And I think that's that kind of, unconditional support is really extraordinary.
You know, he's become sort of a little bit of a rock star too, Ina. And I'm curious.
He's much more popular than I am.
What does he think when people make such a fuss over him? Look at that. That is the cutest picture.
I think he likes when people make a fuss over me more than himself.
Really? Yeah. Does he feel uncomfortable with all the attention? Oh, come on. He gets a kick out of it, doesn't he?
He likes when people say, I like what your wife does. That's really sweet.
That's nice. And, you know, you mentioned one person, and I know I mentioned this earlier, but I just have to tell you all, especially because I'm here in Atlanta, Don Farmer, who is Justin's dad, who passed away this year, was so supportive of me. Of course, my parents were as well. Mm-hmm. My dad was a big supporter, and he was a journalist and thought I could write, and I was a big procrastinator, so he thought I'd be good under deadline because I never did my homework until I was waiting for the school bus in the morning. But Don Farmer, you know, he gave me an opportunity. He worked with me. He nurtured me. And I tell the story in my book. I walked into a meeting at CNN. It was full of male executives and one young woman who was doing the promos. And the number two guy at CNN said, well, that's not like Katie. She's successful because of her intelligence, hard work, and breast size. And this was when
incredible?
I was 26 years old, and I was so taken aback. And I came back to Chris and Don. They were husband-wife anchor team. And I said to them, this just happened to me. I don't know what to do. And he put a piece of typewriter in his IBM Selectric, Google it, you young people, and we wrote a memo to the guy at the time, Ed, no relation to Ted Turner, and basically, you know, said, what you did was totally inappropriate. I would like you to apologize to me immediately. And Ed Turner called, and he was just, you know, beside himself, apologizing. And as I write in the book, I loved having his nuts in a vice. Is that wrong? Anyway, but Don really, I think in a way, set the tone for me for the rest of my career that I didn't have to put up with that kind of guff.
Yeah.
And you're right about one person kind of just being your champion.
Just being your champion.
Yeah.
Just saying, you can do it. You can do anything.
Yeah. And meanwhile, you've taken so many risks. And I think that's something you and I have in common because you left the White House. You then, you know, bought the Barefoot Contessa. Then you sold that to two of your employees.
Yeah.
Then you decided, I'm going to start writing cookbooks.
No, I decided I would write a cookbook while I figured out what to do with myself.
Oh, that's
right.
That
was just a transitional project.
Well, it worked out pretty didn't it?
Yeah, it worked out really well.
But
you
I know,
know.
You were
never
nervous
know.
About writing a cookbook.
Yeah, I didn't think I knew anything about writing a cookbook.
And now you're on your 13th.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think my philosophy of life is that you have to jump in the pond. You can stand on the side of the pond forever talking about what the pond's going to feel like, but you have to get in. You just have to jump in. And what I found out when I was writing cookbooks is it was really fun. I loved the team of people that did the photographs. I loved designing the books. I loved testing the recipes over and over to make sure they're really good. I loved every part of that process. I loved making sure the binding was right so that the book stayed flat when you opened it. You don't want the pages to go up. I mean, every detail of that book, I wanted it to be a beautiful object as a gift, but also really accessible if you wanted to use it as a cookbook.
And I know when you come up with recipes, Ina, you're very, very exacting, aren't you? You have
Extremely.
To really, she's very controlling, actually.
Very controlling. But, that's why we get along so well.
but you have to kind of have a real plan in place, right? Take us with, you know, kind of tell us how you develop a recipe, because I'm fascinated by that.
Well, first, I have to have an idea of exactly what I want the recipe to be. So I'll take an early one, like pan-fried onion dip. I remembered Lipton's onion soup mix, and I thought, I'm sure I can make something that's better with real ingredients. And then I would just start cooking. I would just start making sautéed onions, slowly caramelized, and then add ingredients until I reach exactly what I have in my head, the flavor, the texture, the heat, the whatever it is. And then once I've done that, I've written it down, I give it to at least one other person, often two or three, and watch them make it. And I find out what somebody with a printed page does with that recipe. And I learn so much. You know, somebody's like chopping onions and they'll go, And I'll go, just stop. I want to know what your question was so I can answer it in the margin. So
oh, wow.
Somebody knowing, you know, has the same question you have, they'll just see the answer there.
Is there anything that you just have not been able to master? I think I remember you telling me, wasn't it Boston cream pie?
Boston cream pie. I probably worked on that for 6 years. it was like crazy. I would make it. It's complicated because it's the cake, the pastry cream, and the chocolate glaze have to be perfectly layered, and the textures have to work together. So if the chocolate's too strong, it overpowers the pastry cream, or the cake is too boring, it doesn't stand up to it. There's kind of a layering, and I had it almost right. And I had actually an interview with Christina Tozzi, who's the woman who owns Milk Bar. And she asked me the same question. I said, I'm really close with Boston cream pie, but the cake's a little dry. And she said, why don't you try a soak, which is an orange juice, orange zest, and sugar syrup that you brush on the cake.
And that kind of trickles down to make it moist?
Yeah, it just flavors the cake and it keeps it moist. I went home that night and made it. And it was like, bingo, that was exactly what I was looking for.
Voila, you've mastered the Boston cream pie.
That's where Boston, and I think it's in comfort food, modern comfort food.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And let's talk about your famous chicken, because your roast chicken, I make that all the time, and it's been renamed engagement chicken.
And the genesis of the engagement chicken is funny, because I was at a party, and is there a picture
That's
of engagement
a picture
chicken?
Of you with the chicken, yeah.
I was at a party, and there were these young women from Glamour magazine who came over to me and said, oh, we love your roast chicken recipe. We actually call it engagement chicken. And I said, why? And they said, because every time a young woman in the office makes it for their boyfriend, they're engaged within 24 hours.
And it's
Now that's a powerful chicken.
Right? I was like, what do you put in that bird? Like love potion number 9? What is it? And I think recently Emily Blunt, didn't she say?
She told Ruth Rogers at River Cafe on a podcast that she made it for John Krasinski, and he asked her to marry her and asked her afterwards.
And wait, and there was somebody else recently.
Meghan Markle.
Oh yeah, Meghan Markle. There you go.
Yes.
That's incredible. That's magical. What are some of do you think are the most important skills that you need to learn in the kitchen?
I don't think you need to be a restaurant chef. I think you need to know how to make 4 things really well and just make them over and over and really kind of get comfortable. And they don't have to be complicated. If you can make a roast chicken, you can make a roast turkey. Just takes a little longer. If you make roast broccolini, you can make roast squash. Roasting vegetables is really easy.
And you and I were talking about how simple
roasting
food.
Roasting tomatoes.
Yeah, simple food is sort of the best. And
yeah.
I've been cooking. I cooked a little more during the pandemic. My daughter Carrie's vegan, and she was cooking all sorts of recipes. And, you know, I have a garden. And in the summer, if you have farm stands and you have this, there's nothing like going out to a
just
garden.
Really simple.
And like taking one of those, what are they
cherry
called? Sun-gold tomatoes?
Oh, sun-gold tomatoes, the yellow ones. I have them too.
They're just warm and delicious. They're like candy. And that's why I love cooking in the summer. Is that your favorite season for cooking?
No, I like cooking all the time. In the winter, I like stews and, you know, like red wine braised short ribs and things like that. But in the summer, you know, when it's the farm stands have corn and it's delicious, just cut it off the cob and saute it in butter. It's like you're done.
Yeah.
It's just really good.
And now you've got your show, and I'm excited about this new show you're working on, Ina.
I'm doing it for Discovery.
It's called Be My Guest, and tell everyone about it, because I know you've shot 4 episodes.
I've shot 4 episodes. Haven't seen it yet, so I'm hoping it's good.
I'm sure it'll be good.
And each episode, I invite somebody that I want to talk to. And so I invited Willie Geist, who is with the Today Show, MSNBC, and Sunday Today?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Sunday Today. So my first guest was like a great interviewer, so I was really nervous.
But you're doing the interviews, right?
I'm doing the interviews. And what happened over the pandemic is usually people were interviewing me, but people started asking me to interview them. And I was like, I'm not a journalist. I was really surprised. Like John Grisham. I mean, people not even in the food field. Stanley Tucci. You.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, this is so interesting. Maybe I'll just kind of follow that stream.
And that's what happened. It's really the art of conversation. And you do it around cooking. And
this is like the best job in the world. You can ask somebody that you think is really interesting to come over for the day and have a good time with them. I mean, that's what you do.
I know.
It's just fabulous.
And you're really good at it, too,
Well, I
Ina.
Hope so.
And you had Julian.
We'll see.
You had Julian Margulies.
And my friends Rob Marshall and John DeLuca, who are the producer and director of major movies like Chicago and Mary Poppins Returns and just wonderful movies.
And then you had Erin French.
And there's a woman whose name, I don't know how many people know her. Her name is Erin French. She's the owner of a restaurant in Maine called Lost Kitchen. Does anybody know her name?
She just wrote
a
book. Yeah, she just wrote a book in the last year about really her harrowing sort of upbringing.
An extraordinary, extraordinary journey to the hardest restaurant in America to get into. In order to get into this restaurant in Maine, it's in the middle of nowhere, town of 719 people. They count exactly how many people are in town. You have to send in a postcard by April 1st, and by lottery, they pick out every single reservation for the entire season on April 1st. And people try for years to get into this restaurant. I actually haven't gotten in yet.
Yeah, I think somehow, something tells me that you're
really
going to be able to get in.
She's really quite an extraordinary woman.
Yeah.
And she has a series on Discovery now, which is wonderful, called Lost Kitchen.
Someone's in the kitchen with Ina, and I guess that's me. Get it? Only people of a certain age, probably. Anyway, more with Ina Garten right after this.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I was interested in your views on aging because I'll be 65 in January.
I'm such a child.
and you know, I think especially women, we still have so much to offer and still have so much energy. And how are you feeling about getting a little, the maturing process?
A little creakier, but the brain is still working just fine. I think you can spend a lot of time worrying about it. It's just not worth it because it's going to happen anyway. I think the key is really staying engaged and doing things that you love doing and just, I hope they drag me up by my feet. I'm not giving up anything soon. And staying curious and interested.
And, you know, what's great about you, and I hope that I have some of this too, is that we're always looking for new challenges.
Yeah.
At the same time, really kind of appreciating staying in the moment and being present for whatever
it
is
happening. And not worrying about the future. Just doing what we do. You and I do the same thing. We do what we do really well, and the next thing, just it shows up.
You described something about like being in a stream. Tell them what you were saying.
A friend of mine who's a therapist said that we're all in a stream and we're swimming in a stream. And if you keep hitting against the riverbanks, you're in the wrong stream. But if the stream is carrying you along, then you're in the right stream.
But you also have to relax enough to let the stream carry
you. Well, you have to get in the pond in order to get in the stream. You can't do it from the riverbank. You have to be in the stream.
Lots of water analogies here. Okay. so I have a couple of questions. What was your biggest cooking disaster?
Me? Cooking disaster? I think once when Jeffrey and I were first married, I made something with ground beef and corn that was awful.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
It was awful.
Like Hamburger Helper.
I think it probably tasted like Hamburger Helper.
What's Jeffrey's favorite dish?
Probably roast chicken.
Really?
I would say the last thing that I made. Whatever I've made for him, he goes, it's the best thing you've ever made. I mean, is that a good husband or what?
We all need a Jeffrey in our lives. Okay, so here's some rapid fire questions.
Oh, I've got some for you too.
You've got some for me as well. Okay, all right, Ina, what's your favorite junk food? Come on.
Favorite junk food? I don't know. Is ice cream junk food? No.
No, I mean, do you like any kind of like crap?
I don't.
You don't?
I really don't.
All right, well.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I like potato chips.
Potato chips in that category? I like potato chips.
Okay,
yeah, okay.
What foods do you absolutely hate? Oh, I know the answer to this.
Cilantro.
No! Oh. I love cilantro. Okay, what would be your last meal if you had to pick it?
You know, I had somebody made a meal for me in Paris that was incredible. My favorite thing in the world is Chateau Yquem Sauterne, which is like a sweet dessert wine. And she served every single course with Chateau Yquem, which sounds crazy, like you wouldn't drink a sweet dessert wine for a main course. But she served foie gras with Chateau Yquem, which goes together really well. And then she made lobster with grapefruit with a little Chateau Yquem with Sauterne, which is delicious, and an apple tart. That was my favorite meal ever.
Really?
It was just the simplicity of it, and that every course was served with sweet dessert one was just so luxurious.
Okay, that's a good one. I was going to say what food I hated is that I would never eat. Shad roe.
Oh, God.
Do you like that?
I don't like odd things.
My dad used to love shad roe, and it is so nasty. Okay.
Or like sweetbreads is mine.
Yeah. What is your favorite spice or ingredient?
My favorite ingredient? Vanilla.
Vanilla.
I make my own vanilla by putting vanilla beans in vodka and let them sit for like 6 months. I have a jar that's been going for like 35 years.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe 40 now.
Do you take a little nip every now and then?
No, drink it.
Okay, I know you're a Swiftie. What's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
Shake It Off.
Okay. What's your go-to cocktail other than a giant Cosmo?
Whiskey sour.
A whiskey sour?
I love a whiskey sour. Everybody like whiskey sour.
And I already asked you what Jeffrey's favorite dish was. So now you've got some questions for me.
On the way down, Katie and I realized we both had pop quizzes. So she's now on the hot seat. What's the movie you've seen the most?
Love Actually.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I watch it every Christmas.
That's a good one. What food makes you happy?
Cupcakes.
Cupcakes. Oh, yeah. Good. I know what to make you. What's the best job you've ever had?
Probably the Today Show.
Yeah. 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 And I think I know what the worst job you've ever had is.
Yeah.
The best present you ever got.
The best present I ever got. Oh, gosh. I had thought, I don't know. Wendy, do you have any ideas for the best?
A lot of people choose something that's from their childhood.
Oh, I know. My grandmother, my Nana, she was from Omaha, but originally from Alex City, Alabama, married an architect. My grandfather lived in Omaha with Buddy, my uncle. my grandmother had the most beautiful collection of purses that she bought in Paris.
Wow.
And my mom had them all wrapped in tissue paper in a drawer in my sister Emily's room. And my mom gave me one of those purses. And then when my mom passed away, my sister Kiki and I divided up the purses. Yeah. So I have these just beautiful vintage bags from Paris that my daughters cannot wait to get their hands on.
That's great.
That I think was my favorite gift.
And my last question is from a very famous interviewer, James Lipton. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive?
Welcome.
Don't you want to know what your room looks like?
Yeah. As long as he says there's no room, as long as he doesn't say there's, it's, or she doesn't say,
she doesn't,
there's no room at the end, I'll be happy. Ina, this was so fun.
So much fun.
Thank you so much for doing this.
So just wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much to the one and only Ina Garten. Her upcoming new show is called Be My Guest. It will air sometime in 2022, and you'll be able to find it on Discovery Plus and the Food Network channel. Word on the street is there might also be a companion podcast, so keep an ear out for that. Next Question with Katie Couric is a production of iHeartMedia and Katie Couric Media. The executive producers are me, Katie Couric, and Courtney Litz. The supervising producer is Lauren Hansen. Associate producers, Derek Clements and Adriana Fazio. The show is edited and mixed by Derek Clements. For more information about today's episode or to sign up for my morning newsletter, Wake Up Call, go to katiecouric.com. You can also find me at Katie Couric on Instagram and all my social media channels. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.